called me and he said to me, he's dealing with a specific situation with this person, and he says these words to me. He said, it's almost like they're blind to what reality really is. Isn't that what you said to me? And when he said that to me, it was all the confirmation I needed to share this message this morning with you. And I slept a whole lot better than I have the last week. And I used to, crazy, just funny stuff. When I was younger, I've been leading worship now here at the church for almost 20 years. When I was younger, I used to have these dreams that I'd get up in front of the church with my fly down, or I'd go up in front of the church and I forgot to put my pants on. Just crazy stuff. But I felt such a peace last night after talking with Ben. It was such a confirmation, and I got a great night's sleep. Amen. And then I walk in here this morning, and my younger brother, and we love each other and everything like that, but we don't discuss a lot during the week. He doesn't call me and say, hey, I'm going to sing these specific songs. I'm going to do this specific thing. I walk in here this morning, and he begins to sing the song, I Lift My Hands to Believe Again. Whew. You're my refuge. You're my strength. And the words of the song go, let faith arise. Open up my eyes. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Open my eyes. What does that mean? What does that mean when we sing this song? Let faith arise, open my eyes. What do you mean, Garrett? My eyes are open. I can see you. You got a beautiful pink shirt on, and your voice is terrific. I hear what you're singing. I see you in front of me. But what does it mean to open my eyes? What exactly, when you're singing that, what does it mean? Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open. The eyes of your heart would be open and lightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, inheritance in the holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power, the same power, the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God. I want you to zoom in on this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And I can tell you that before I considered this, you know, I've been around church a couple days, and I asked myself, I didn't really know that my understanding had eyes. I didn't really know that my understanding had perception. I didn't really know that my understanding had vision. And as we consider this morning, I make a parallel with this song, Open My Eyes, O Lord. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the works of your Holy Spirit. Father, if we're in the dark, if we're blind in our spirits this morning, we ask that we be made alive, that we can move forward in faith to see what you see and not just see what our natural eyes see. Father, we ask you this morning to change our stories. Would you say amen this morning? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened is a confession that there are areas in our lives that we are blind to. We have no clear vision in. Have you ever been in a situation and thought afterwards, in retrospect, if I had seen that situation, if I, in looking back, I see the situation differently than in real time. I wish I would have noticed, I wish I would have seen, not with natural eyes, but I wish in retrospect I would have viewed a situation differently than I did. It speaks to the enlightenment of our inner vision, not the enlightenment of our outer vision. So quickly, I'd like to set up three references, three types of people that are listed in the New Testament, and I'm going to put these people in three categories. Are you ready? You promise you won't. Tap your neighbor and say, don't get mad at Ryan now. It'll start out a little prickly, and then it'll lighten up at the end, okay? The natural man or woman, number one, the natural man or woman, the Bible talks about it, has no supernatural sense, just flesh, blood, muscles, tissue. He has five senses that keep him in touch with the natural world: taste, smell, touch, sight, hearing. Although he is naturally alive, he is spiritually dead. That's natural. Aware of what's going on around you, but not necessarily relative to God. That's why Ephesians 2 and 1 says, you have been made alive in Christ because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. It doesn't mean that you're physically dead. It means that you're spiritually dead. Dead in the scripture means away from God, blind to God. The natural man is blind to God. And let me just explain it this way. The natural man has no reason to worship. So when Garrett begins to sing, let faith arise, let faith arise, the natural man says, I don't need to sing with him. Let that pretty guy up there get done with the song and let me move on. Let me get through this portion of it, because you're not relative to worship. See, he's pressing into worship because he's fed from a different impulse than his natural impulse. The natural man says, I don't need to pray. I don't need to worship. I don't need to seek God. I don't need to do those funny things that those people up there do, because I can see just fine. I can walk just fine. I can handle myself. I'm tough. I'm hard. I got it all together. How many of the men know about natural senses? Just wave at me. That's natural. It's natural not to want to seek God. It's natural not to want to worship. Amen. Which brings me to my second point. He comes to change us into point two. Jesus comes to change us from being blind naturally to the spirit man or woman. Do I have any spirit-filled people in the room? Is alive unto God, but his senses, his spirit, has been made alive. We're three-pod beings, spirit, soul, and body. The natural man is alive in his body, but spiritually dead. The spiritual man or woman is alive in his spirit, but has become dead to his flesh. That's like saying, I don't have to react to every emotion that you feel or I feel inside. When I see a woman, I don't have to, That's natural. But I'm spirit-filled, and I don't have to react to that sense. I can react to the spirit inside of me and just keep on moving. This is what God has. This is what he has for me. It's like people that come into church, and all they can do is pick. They're fed by a natural sense. They're not fed by a spiritual sense. Because if you're in the spirit, you say, my father has said it for years, find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. That's the supernatural senses that we're made alive in. Dead unto our flesh. Our flesh is on the cross. So we can put our faith on the throne. Come on, somebody. Our flesh is dead. I'm not going to walk into church. I'm not going to walk in the grocery store and harass people and make fun of people. That's something we teach our kids at a young age, because it's natural for a child to go, ha, 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 look at him and her. It's natural. They're born with that. You don't have to teach your children that. Hello? But you do have to teach your children to walk in the Spirit. So this means I am in the world, but I am not of the world. I don't have to react the way the world reacts. I don't have to play into arguments or drama or get upset when the world is upset, because I am fed by a different impulse. I am fed by what my spirit feels, not what my eyes seen. The word spiritual, get this. How do you know this, Ryan? I'm friends with a dean of a college, amen. The word spiritual in the Greek means pneumatikos, where we get the word pneuma, which means breath, which means God has breathed the breath of life into us, and I react to that breath, not you or not the circumstances I'm in. Ooh, that's good. That's so good. That's the spiritual man. But here's where you got to say, don't get mad at Ryan. Now, this is New Testament teaching. Most of us fall into the category of number three, the carnal man. The carnal man is a spiritual man, but he primarily reacts to external circumstances. The word carnal in the Greek is sarkoukos, which means flesh, which means I am a fleshly Christian, a carnal Christian. Typically in traditional churches, like kind of like this one, carnal Christians are locked into a box called sin, but I'd like to challenge that idea and tell you this. If you worry, you're carnal. If you're doubtful, you're carnal. If you're unforgiving, you're carnal. You're fed, you're filled with God's Holy Spirit. Christ lives in you, right? But you react to your emotions. Carnal Christian. And let me just say this to you. I should have said it at the beginning. The Lord is working this in me first. It scares me when the Lord impresses something like this on my spirit, because I know he's challenging me to keep changing, to keep developing, to keep moving forward. Never get into a place, oh, I got it all worked out. I got it all handled. No, let's stay in a place of, Holy Spirit, if you see something in me that needs changing, change me. So the natural man has allowed himself to live in the flesh, but he's dead unto God. The spiritual man has crucified his flesh unto God. He's put his faith on, he's put his flesh on the cross. The truth is, the majority of people operate in the carnal. Truthfully, you don't even need this lesson to realize this. I love this. Just think along this train of thought for a second. Think about you. You know that God lives in you. You know that you're born again. Hopefully, if you're sitting here, you know you're born again. If you don't, come down and see us afterwards. But you react to external circumstances that creates a war in you because you have Christ living in you. There's a war. The Bible says there's an enmity unto God. There's a fight going on with you that you don't want to feel the way you feel. You don't want to act the way you act. Because you have Christ in you, and they're rubbing up against each other. They're fighting. There's a war within yourselves. Amen? But here's the thing. The spiritual man, and here's where we get caught in church. And I hope that you hear this morning. Here's where we get caught in church. The spiritual man does feel these feelings. He does. He feels unforgiving. He feels resentment. He feels doubtful. He feels fearful. He feels all these things, but what's the difference between the carnal man and the spiritual man is this. He doesn't react to them. It comes to him, oh, I don't like him or I don't like her. Instead of speaking it and watering it and digesting it and moving on it, he says, no, I feel all those feelings, but I'm not going to react to it. That's the spirit man. I'm going to react to the fruits of the Spirit, which Galatians talks of. Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness. That's what I'm going to react to. That's the Spirit, man. Are you with me this morning? Just wave at me if you're with me. Here's an example. Elijah says in 1 Kings 18, in the Spirit I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The servant looks back at him, and if you know the story, he says, it might be raining in your spirit, but it's dry in the natural. I don't know what you're seeing. I don't know what you're hearing, Elijah, but I'm going to tell you something. If you just open your eyes and look down at the ground, it's dry all over the place. But Elijah doesn't react to that. He isn't fed by that emotion. He doesn't get pushed in that direction. He doesn't react. His emotions don't react to what his natural eyes see. They're listening to two different things. The servant's natural ears and eyes say drought, but Elijah's spiritual ear says the rain is coming. And when you hear and act on spiritual senses, you'll be at war with people that pay attention to only natural senses. Don't hate these people. Just know that you're hearing and you're seeing on a level that's different than they are. Come on, somebody should say amen. We should hear things in our spirit that contradict what we hear in the natural. We should hear and prepare for things that we don't necessarily see. You know, people, they react to just natural senses. The problem with that is they're going to think you're absolutely nuts when you react to your spirit. Like this story. Noah, what are you building? He says, it's a boat. It's going to rain. Noah, you're crazy. It never rains here. You have to be willing to be criticized, to be hated, to be laughed at because you're hearing on a level, you're seeing on a level that they don't see. Building for things that they don't understand yet, but you can see it in your spirit. Do you have a vision for things that haven't happened yet? Look at what's going on in the church right now. Look at what's happening. St. Anthony's. People think my dad is an absolute loopy loop at 62 years old for taking on another building project. But let me just say this to you. The people that have been affected, you don't see it all. I have the interesting perspective. I see the young man. I see this 7-year-old young boy walk in, begin to cry on me. A few of you saw it. I said, well, what's the matter, bro? What's going on? My dad just got put into jail. My dad got locked up, and I began to pray for him and embrace him as a son. What else do you do? But I want to ask you this morning, if you pay attention to every natural leaning that you had, you'll never get that opportunity. You'll never get that, oh, that supernatural. When my father sees a guy like Chris, what does he see? Does he see what he is in the natural, or does he see what he is in the spiritual? When Aaron gets up here and she speaks an eloquent message on a Thursday night, and everybody, oh, yay, you're terrific. Me, when I get up here and preach, oh, yeah, you're terrific. Here's the trouble. In the natural, we look like a mess. When she walked into church, I was here. She was a mess. I was a mess. I can go around the room. Micah, when he walked in here, mess. In the natural, it says, he'll never make it. But in the supernatural, it says he's a teacher of the Word of God. So my question, will you begin to pay attention to what you feel in the natural? Oh, he shouldn't do this. She shouldn't do that. Or will you begin to get a spiritual sense about you and say, this can work. There's wisdom in this. There's clarity in this. Spiritual man, natural man, are you with me? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. You could finish it. The evidence of things not yet seen. For it's by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But listen to this. We don't say this in church. So that the things which are seen were not made of what is visible. That's the faith. That's having faith to be able to see a person where they're not. So we know that from this, the things that are made of things that are not visible. And whose report will you trust in? Everything that you see today was not poof. It just happens. Poof, there it is. Poof, there it is. Everything starts as a seed, as a concept. It's conceived in the natural only after it's conceived in the spiritual. Can you hear and see what God has for your future? Or do you rely solely on your natural eyes? My father has said it for years. If you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. It's kind of like saying things which are seen are not made of things that do appear. Hebrews 11:3. You can only manifest things in the natural that you see in the spirit. Come on, say amen. Here are a couple scriptural examples. Are you getting anything out of this? Acts 9, Paul is on the road to Damascus. Do you know this story? Leading men down the road to Damascus, he has an encounter with God. He sees a great light, and it leaves him blind naturally. It leaves him blind naturally, but spiritually he's awakened. Go back and read it later. He begins to know who God is. He begins to know who Jesus is. He begins to know he's called to the ministry. It happens. You have these moments. You have these times where you become awakened to what God's Spirit is saying to you, and he begins to be blind in the natural. The scripture says, theologians say that he struggled with natural blindness the rest of his life. But it was okay, because he was blind in the natural, but he had keen 20/20 vision in the spiritual. Amen. Amen. So you understand by this story that it's possibly to be naturally blind, but have 20/20 vision in the spirit. And until we get our eyes open, we'll be at war on the inside. You ever meet a person like that? They're at war. They don't need anybody around them. They don't need to see anybody. They're just mad all the time. They're at war on the inside. But as you develop in your prayer life, what you hear from God will contradict all those other things. One more scriptural reference. 2 Kings 6:17. Here Elijah's servant sees the attackers and says, "Oh man of God, they've got us surrounded. We're going to die." Do you know this story? "Look at the mountains around us, covered with the enemies against us." Instead of Elijah saying, "I see him too, let's get out of here," he says, "I pray for you that your eyes would be open. Your inward eyes. Let him see." Do you remember these words? "Let him see that there's more that are for us than there are against us. You should see who's on my side. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. Open our eyes, O Lord." Just because it looks some way in the natural, Elijah's servant, he's scared because he's in the dark about something. Now, if you haven't followed me, I want you to follow me now, because you're going to have to think to stay with me. Back to Paul for just a second. So Paul goes to Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19, if you're familiar with your Bible. And I'm going to rush through this, but he plants a ministry and sows in faith and stays there 3 years. And he says this, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those that are sanctified. I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you in good hands." Are you with me? Ephesians 1:16, he writes back to them and says this, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I'm asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you spiritual wisdom and revelation so you may know better. I pray that your eyes would be open." He tells them, "I birthed you, I sowed you, I planted you. I have to leave now." Writes back to them and says, "Please, I see that you're naturally alive, but you're spiritually dead." His own church, the work that he started. He says, "You're alive, you're there, you're a congregation, but you're spiritually dead on the inside." Now, I want you to watch this now. Watch what happens in the scripture. Paul says, "The eyes of your understanding would be open." And here's my question. Your understanding is this, the truth that you stand under. The truth that you stand under, the truth you tell yourself about your situation. Stay with me. The truth you've told other people about your situation. The truth you've convinced other people about your situation is the truth that you stand under. You don't believe this? Tell your story to someone else who was there. Tell your story to someone else who was there and watch how differently they explain the same situation to you. It'll be two totally different stories. "My eyes would be open." It's hard to believe. "It's not my fault. You never loved me the way you should have. You were never a good friend. You were never a good father. You were never a good husband. You were never a good wife." Has become the truth. These negative things have been the truth that we begin to stand under. We're blind. Here's what I've come a long way to say. Sometimes the struggle that we feel and that we live is the story that we keep telling ourselves about our own life. It's not our neighbor. It's not our father. It's not our grandmother who smacked us. It's not our boss that we hate. It's the story that we tell ourselves. Remember this, Proverbs 23. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Here's why I'm convinced that our story that we tell ourselves makes us sick, makes us blind. Someone else has the same story, but they made it. Someone else has a worser story, and they made it. My father has all the reason in the world to be dead, to be gone, to be dead unto God. But he's made a choice to be spiritually alive. Well, that's just Pastor Marty. And I don't know how he does it. You don't know how he does it because you're blind. You're left blind by your own confession. The story you tell yourself, the confession you tell yourself, we have to fix our story. Change my story. I'm going to end with this. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. This is so good. If you get this morning, this could change someone's life. This has changed my life. Get this story. The woman with the issue of blood. Do you know this story? Just wave at me. You kind of heard it before, a few of you. The woman with the issue of blood, her reality said, you're sick. Medicine can't save you. The doctor can't save you. CVS doesn't have medication for you. Religious people say, she's unclean, cast her out. We do that in church now. Her story says, you have no hope of the future. You have no tomorrow. Her story, actually, if you read it and you think about it, it says, you have no shot in life. Here's what happens. Here's what she did. Listen to this. Do you remember when it says, she said to her, she went from a story of, I can't do it, I'm just all messed up, I'm all washed up, and she changes her stories, and I don't know how it happens. I could get a theological explanation, but I don't know how it happens, but all of a sudden, she changes her story, and her story goes from, I'll never make it, to, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch him, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just trip over to him. I know I'm uneducated. I know I can't preach the best. I know I'm not the best singer. I know that it's tough. I know my background. I know my father was a mess. I know my mother was a mess. But if I could touch Jesus, I will be made whole. It's the confession that she's told herself. So here's my question for you. Here's my question for you. Here's my question for you. For you, for you. Maybe it's time. Maybe. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's time that you change your story. Maybe it's your moment in history. Maybe you're the next Marty McDonald. Maybe you're the next Billy Graham. Maybe you're the next president. Maybe, just maybe, it's time that you change your story. Would you stand with me? You know why I'm convinced? You know why I'm totally, totally, totally convinced that her story changed her. You know why? Because Jesus said, who touched me? He didn't go to her. Jesus didn't walk up to her and say, Judy, let me pray for you. Let me minister to you. He didn't do that. He never went to the woman. I'm convinced that Jesus didn't touch her. I'm convinced that Jesus, that he was touched by her. Jesus didn't touch her. Who touched me? Who laid their hand out? Who pulled virtue out of me? Who pulled the healing out of me? He didn't touch her. She touched him. Her story, her confession, the confession of her heart. Oh, I've messed up my life. Too bad. I've gone too far. I'm too broken. I'm too messed up. She changed her story when she said, if I could just touch him, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just touch his hem, if I can just make it over there, if I can just somehow get up there, change your story. You know the only way to change your story? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know the hope of his calling for you. For you. Not for me. Not just for me. You know what scares me? Do you mind if I take one more minute? Do you mind? You know what scares me? Here's what scares the hell out of me. Is to get to the end of my life, the long road of my life, to get to the end of it and say, what if I would have put myself out there? What if I would have served? What if I would have changed my story? What would life have been? Scares me to death, and it should scare you too. It should scare you to death. You're made for more. You are made for more. You are made for more. My prayer for you this morning is that you be enlightened. And as you're enlightened, that you can change history with your story. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for that enlightenment. Don't leave me. Enlighten me. That I can change my story. That I don't have to continue on. That you'll rewrite my story. Open your eyes just for a second. You know what playing it safe is? You know what playing it safe is? Not making a move. You know what playing it safe is? It's just blindness. It's just being blind. I can walk, but I can't see in the spirit. That's blindness. Don't play it safe. Don't do it. Thank you for your word in your house. Thank you, Lord, that some are enlightened even now in this moment. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you're that natural man, you say, Ryan, I that was great and everything, but I have no idea who God is. I don't even know who. I don't want you to leave here. Please, I beg of you, don't leave here without coming down to see me. Micah, would you come down? Ben, would you come down? Ben, my brother, Ben. See one of these guys. They'll lead you to the Lord. You don't have to live as that natural. If you're that carnal man, you just say, dude, Ryan, I've been blind for 20 years. I don't know what I'm. My life is fragile. I'm just on the edge. Come down. Don't leave the way you came in. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.